All right. Well, good evening. It's good to have y'all online with us this evening, or maybe you're watching this after the fact. That's all right. We're going to sing a few hymns a cappella tonight. Miss Karen couldn't be here this evening to play the piano for us, but she plans to be back on Sunday. So if you'll join me on, we'll sing He Is Here, and then Take the Name of Jesus With You. Or we'll sing Surely the Presence, and then He Is Here, and then Take the Name of Jesus With You. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Okay, I'm being told that we don't have audio, so I'm going to go troubleshoot. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. I had my mic muted, and that was live. Bless you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Well, I think everybody heard you out there in live stream land. Good to see each and every one of you this evening. Wow. As we continue on with this lockdown and COVID-19 stuff, we still find ourselves being able to get the Word of God out and Bible study together tonight. Amen. So that's what we want to do. I hope you're having a blessed week, a good week. Hope you're staying safe, taking all of your precautions, washing your hands, all of those things, covering your mouth with the mask, all of that stuff. And Germex, hand sanitizer, right? Very good. Well, if you have a copy of God's Word this evening, if you would take and turn to Exodus, we're going to get back in our series of messages on the study of the character of Moses. And so we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 7, and we're going to pick it up here at verse 14 and read through chapter 8, verse 2. Now, basically what we're doing here is reading the in entirety, the first plague that God put on Egypt, put on Pharaoh and his people. We'll read that one in its entirety, and then as we go through these next plagues this evening, we won't read all of that. It's very verbose, a lot of scripture there. So you're more than welcome to read through these plagues and study them on your own. Be a good study for you if you feel led of the Lord to do that. But as we begin tonight, it's Exodus chapter 7, beginning in verse 14 here, and we'll take it through chapter 8, verse 2. The Word of God reads this in Exodus chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he's going out to the water and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, and over their rivers, over their streams, over their pools, and over all their reservoirs of water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.' So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded. And he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs.'" That's the second plague. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we get ready to pray, could you guys bump that air up to about 76? There's a chill in the air. Can you believe that? The pastor's cold. I mean, I don't have a suit on, just my New Hope T-shirt. This is a good one. Amen. It's got the flag on it and everything. What does it say? Tell me what it says in the back. What does it say? I stand for the... That's it. I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. Amen? Yeah. So I don't have a suit on, so I'm a little chilled. Amen? So we bump the air up. So if you're home sitting in your warm environment, you're probably getting a chuckle out of that about right now. That's okay. That's okay. That's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for this character study that we get to continue now and get to get back into on the life and times of Moses here in the book of Exodus. Lord, thank you for this study and thank you for his character. And Lord, thank you that we get to see all of Moses from the high points to the low points. Lord, you don't shield us from any of it. You show all of it to us. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you save us. And Lord, we pray specifically for the prayer time tonight. Lord, we would have good technology. We'd be able to get the prayer requests in, and we'd get to pray for those together as we look at them online and then pray for them here. And as people pray for them at their respective homes and wherever they're watching tonight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for keeping us safe thus far. Lord, I haven't heard of anyone in the church proper, that has come down with the COVID. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. We pray your continued hedge of protection around your church and the other churches and the rest of this country, Lord, and all the people that are struggling with it. We praise you and we love you tonight for all that you do, for all that you're doing, and for what you're going to do, Lord. We praise you and we love you. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. Well, last time we covered our Moses character study out of the book of Exodus. Life was drastically different. I mean, really different from what we find ourselves in today. Back on March the 11th, we ended that Bible study talking about how Pharaoh was not very impressed. Well, not very impressed with what? Well, he was not very impressed about Moses' staff. When Moses threw that staff to the ground and that staff turned into a snake and it ate up all of Pharaoh's magician's staffs when they threw them to the ground and their respective staffs turned into snakes. Even after all of that reptilian buffet business with Moses' staff winning out, Pharaoh still refused to let the people go. We closed that last Bible study out in March, on March the 11th, by making the point that the truth of Exodus chapter 7, verse 13. You remember the verse, 7:13. We started in 7:14. 7:13 says, "Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said." We said back then that this truth would be repeated over and over as we went through the people's struggle for freedom. And even as we read about this first plague and even the introduction to the second plague, we see that Pharaoh's heart is still hardened. So that brings us, with that all being said, that brings us here to the launching out, if you will, in the book of Exodus and character study on Moses. That brings us to the plagues. So let's attempt to set the context with this distance between us, but still able to communicate over the live stream. What can we say about the context? We can say this. We can say several things, but we can start with this. The ancient Egyptians, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it's been some time back. The ancient Egyptians had about 80 major gods. 80 major gods and goddesses. You know, not all of them gods. There were some goddesses in there. There were a lot of minor deities clustered around the others, but those 80 gods and goddesses were themselves clustered around three main forces in Egyptian life. What are these three main forces? Force number one was the Nile, that great river. Force number two was the fertile land produced by the Nile flooding every year. And force number three was that big ball in the sky, the sun, S-U-N. All of these gods and goddesses were kind of focused around those three forces in Egyptian life. Now, the ancient historian Herodotus called Egypt the gift of the Nile. What was he saying there? Basically, he was saying if it were not for the Nile, Egypt would have been part of the desert. that stretches across North Africa to the west and across the Gulf of Suez to the Arabian Desert to the east. In ancient times, the Nile did what? Well, it overflowed its banks every year. And as it would do that, it would deposit in that river valley that wonderful silt soil that had been carried down from Central Africa. And it made this part of the world in Egypt one of the most fertile lands of the ancient world. Combined with the rich land and the water, the brilliant sun, they were at the right place on the planet. The brilliant sun produced marvelous crops. So as we set up the context, the plagues, the 10 plagues, were directed against these three forces and the gods which were supposed to protect and take care of these three forces. So that's where we begin. So we read the passage in Exodus 7, 14, and took it all the way through chapter 8, verse 2. So we'll begin this evening, and I'm going to try to get us through the first four plagues. We'll not get through all 10 plagues tonight. That would be kind of a long evening. But we do want to try to tackle the first four. So the first one is plague number one, and that is the plague of the Nile. That is the plague of blood. God's first plague was against this Nile River. He sent Moses and Aaron to meet Pharaoh as the Pharaoh was walking by the river. Some scholars believe that the Pharaoh was probably engaged or probably leading in some kind of act of Nile worship as the leader of the country, the leader of the kingdom. The Word of God says they confronted him. Aaron raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and struck the water, and immediately the water changed to blood. Immediately. The fish in the Nile died, and the river had such a stench that the Egyptians could not drink its water. If you've just had your dinner, I'm so sorry to put that on you. But it was awful, right? You can only imagine how bad it must have been. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. Where there was supposed to be water, there was now blood. Egypt is, you look at Egypt on a map, Egypt is strung out for hundreds of miles along the banks of the Nile. At times, habitable land is only 10 or 15 miles wide, depending on how severe the desert is and how wide the Nile is going through the desert there. And it's wider in other places when you get down to the delta. But when you look at it, man, it's a really long, back then ancient Egypt, a really long kingdom, really long country, so to speak. But suddenly the Nile, which had been the source of life for this ancient land and all of these people, became a source of death. A source of death. Everything in the Nile and in every stream and every pool and every pond and every tributary, it began to do what? Well, the Word of God tells us it began to die. The question that would have been raised at once by the people of Egypt, Pharaoh's subjects, the question that would have been raised at once was, where are the gods of the Nile? Where are these gods? Where is Osiris, one of the great gods of Egypt? Where was his power when this is going on? The Egyptians said that the Nile was his bloodstream. Well, when God wants to get a people's attention, he knows how to get their attention, doesn't he? My goodness, they were worshiping this Osiris, and they were calling this Nile his bloodstream. And God says, I'll show you blood. He turns it all into blood. Yet this Osiris appeared to be powerless. Where was this god Khnum, another of the great Nile gods? He was the guardian of the Nile's sources, who made sure that the Nile kept flowing. Well, where was he? Where was Hapi, another spirit of the Nile in Upper Egypt? Where were the gods and goddesses associated with the fish of the Nile, which were a great source of food and protein for the people? And I wanted some fried catfish last night. You know, we were trying to find a place that would serve it. And I think everywhere we wanted to look and pick up from was not open. You got to love your fish, amen? Easter Sunday, this past Easter, our last bag of Lake Lackawanna crappie from Missouri was consumed. I mean, there's just something about fresh fish or frozen fish or whatever kind of fish. There's just something about fish prepared and ready to eat, right? I mean, this was a great source of food and protein for the people. All of these gods surrounding the Nile revealed to be powerless. Surely this catastrophe should have made an impression on Pharaoh. But as the Word of God reports, it did not. Pharaoh's heart remained hard, and he would not let the people go. But chapter 7, verse 22, but the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. That brings us to plague number 2, and that's the plague of the frogs. It goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? Ancient Egyptian amulets, carved in the shape of frogs, amulets, were supposed to have magical powers and religious significance. One of the great goddesses of Egypt was named Hecate, H-E-K-E-T in English. That's kind of the transliteration of that. Hecate, who was often pictured with the head and sometimes the body of a frog. Wow, they worship frogs. They worship frogs. Yeah. Which means that there's a great possibility, scholars tell us, that the connection between frogs and the goddess meant that frogs were what? These frogs were sacred, thus you could not kill the frog. So you couldn't kill them. You're being overrun by them. They're filling up your house, right? You're trying to prepare your meal, and in jumps a frog, and you can do nothing with it. You cannot kill it, right? Because you, as a people, you worship frogs. Frogs came up into the houses, the beds, came up into the kitchens and the ovens, jumping into the flour as people were trying to make the bread. And because they were considered sacred, the people could not kill them. This was simply a misery that had to be endured. Pharaoh asked his magicians to make frogs too. And the scriptures tell us that they certainly could do that. However, the difficulty was not making frogs. They had plenty of frogs already. The great difficulty was getting rid of the frogs, right? And that was what the Egyptian magicians could not do. They couldn't get rid of them. They could make some more, but they couldn't get rid of them. Well, we know from the biblical record, there was no change in Pharaoh's heart. Exodus chapter 8, verse 15 reads, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. What was the relief? Well, if you backtrack just a few verses, verse 12, then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. The Lord did according to the word of Moses, Moses' prayer, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. Well, Pastor, wasn't it already foul from all the dead fish? Absolutely. And now you've got dead fish, and now you've got dead frogs. And that brings us to plague number 3. I tell you what, if you've waited to eat your dinner, you're probably not going to eat tonight, all right? Because that brings us to plague number 3, which is gnats, or depending on your translation, you have a King James Version, lice. Gnats or lice. Take your pick, gnats or lice. Chapter 8, verses 16 through 19. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt. They did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand in his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. That's what I want you to notice here in chapter 8, verse 18. The magicians tried. They gave it a good try with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, chapter 8, verse 18, but they could not, the Word of God says. So there were gnats on man and beast. The gnats aren't ending. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is, notice what they say, this is the finger of God. But notice the response. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Wow. My goodness. God's third plague was against the soil. We started out with these plagues against the Nile. Kind of a transition here against the soil. One of the most fertile soils in the world. That guy that, who's the guy that does the pillow commercial? What's his name? You know who I'm talking about. He's a great Christian. He just made a powerful statement about Christianity and Christ in the Rose Garden. He was speaking on behalf of President Trump. I think his company was, MyPillow is the name of the company. His company was making some kind of medical equipment or masks or something for the medical community. That's it. Mike what? Mike Lindell? Yeah. Mike Lindell. He doesn't just sell pillows, but he sells these sheets, right? And he gets this Giza cotton. And where does he get this Giza cotton? It comes from the fertile Nile Valley, and it's only grown in one place in the world, this Giza cotton. They grow it all the way over there in Egypt. I mean, this is one of the most fertile soils in the world that Mike Lindell gets his cotton for his sheets to sell to me and you. From this soil grew all sorts of nourishing vegetables, plants, fruit, and grain, cotton. But now, as part of God's judgment on the land, it began to produce gnats in great abundance. Gnats. Those are pesky little things. Aren't they annoying, the gnats? Especially when they're just swarming. Oh, they get in your hair. They get in your eyes. They get in your teeth. They get in your clothes, your food. Can you imagine? You've got the piled up rotting fish, and you've got the piled up rotting frogs, and now you got the gnats. And so the Egyptians would be asking, where was the great God of the earth? His name in their religious polytheistic system was Geb, G-E-B, transliterated in English. Where is the great God of the earth, Geb? Where was he to protect the land and to keep it from producing the insects that brought such trouble for the people? Plague 3 here marks the first time in the account that the Egyptian magicians were unable to do what? To duplicate defeat. But despite this realization, and despite the confession of their inability from the magicians to Pharaoh, Pharaoh still refused to obey God. He would not let the people go. This brings us to plague number 4, which is the plague of the flies. The fourth plague, flies. It was a judgment on another god. Uattiket was his name, the fly god. Uattiket, the fly god. Sounds like that would be a fly god, right? Uattiket, something like that. Or Uatchit, however it's pronounced in Egyptian. I don't speak it. I read a little bit of Greek. Don't speak much Egyptian. But anyway, it's a fly god. In this plague, God clearly distinguished between the Israelites and the Egyptians, as no swarms of the flies bothered the areas where the Israelites lived. Exodus chapter 8, verses 21 through 24. Oh, let's look at that just right quick. Exodus 8, 21 through 24. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on your land and on your servants and on your people, and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will occur. Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of the servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Yuck upon yuck upon grossity gross yuck. It is a yuck extravaganza. I mean, it's yuck. Just like the plague with the frogs, guess what? The flies were also associated with this god. We've already mentioned his name. I won't try to pronounce it again. And other lesser gods and goddesses these flies were associated with, or flies in general were associated with, in this polytheistic system of religion. Therefore, you couldn't get out the fly swatter and kill them. You could only endure them. So what do you think Pharaoh's getting from his subjects? What do you think Pharaoh's approval rating is? You know, they're always talking about the president's approval rating or the governor's approval rating or this individual's approval, whatever. What do you think Pharaoh's approval rating is about right now, about four plagues in? I bet his approval rating is getting pretty low. Now this is a monarchy, and it's autocratic, and he's a dictator, so to speak, but there's a whole lot more people than there are of him, and this isn't looking too good for him. And so Pharaoh is now in a brief mood to compromise. And so basically the biblical record reveals this, that first he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, he said that he would let the Hebrew people go and worship Jehovah, but they had to do it in Egypt, right? Couldn't get outside of Egypt to do that. Well, for Moses and for God, that was just simply unacceptable, because they would be an offense doing their worshiping of Jehovah, the one true God. They would be this huge offense to the people of Egypt. And so Moses said that was unacceptable. So then second, Pharaoh, he said they could go into the desert, but they had to stay close to Egypt. Why? Well, Pharaoh wanted to keep an eye on them. And so that seemed acceptable to Moses. So he prayed, and God removed all those flies. But as soon as the insects were gone, once again, Pharaoh hardened his heart. What did God say Pharaoh was going to do with his heart? Harden his heart. What does Pharaoh do as we go through all of this? He keeps a hard heart, right? This is the first time, this fourth plague, the flies, this is the first time that we are told explicitly of the distinction between the land of Egypt and the land of Goshen, the region that is part of the eastern delta where the Israelites were living. The Egyptians and their land were plagued with insects, the flies, but the Israelites in Goshen were not. Now, this distinction may have existed earlier, perhaps it did, but this is the first time we learn of a distinction. Now, as I close it out tonight, do you get the point? Do you get the point of all of this thus far? God is not somebody that you want to mess with. You want to reverence God. You want to have a healthy fear of God. You want your life to bring glory and honor to God. You don't want to draw a line in the sand and try to go toe-to-toe with God. You're going to lose that battle every time, every single time. But that's not necessarily the point thus far. Remember what Pharaoh did to Moses, as we ask you the question, do you get the point of all this thus far? Remember what Pharaoh had done to Moses and his relationship to his people? Moses had come in there and to Pharaoh, and God had told him to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he goes in there and he makes this demand of God, let my people go. Speaking on behalf of the Lord, Jehovah, let my people go. Pharaoh said, not only will I not let your people go, but your people look like they got way too much time on their hand. I'm going to make their labor even more laborious. And so the people had to do what? Not only were they in the business of manufacturing bricks, the business of manufacturing Pharaoh's construction projects, they now had to go secure the hay, the stubble, to put into the mud mixture to make the bricks. They couldn't keep up, remember? And they, the taskmasters over the leaders over the Israelite people were getting beaten, and people were dying, and it was an awful thing. And so what did the people do? The people rose up against Moses. Kind of a weird thing going on here then, isn't it? It looks like, it doesn't necessarily say in the passage, but you can certainly infer it based on human nature, that the people are rising up against Pharaoh, making things difficult for Pharaoh. It seems to me God is doing to Pharaoh what Pharaoh did to Moses, right? Kind of a spirit of reciprocity, kind of a you reap what you sow kind of a thing. Kind of a crazy thing. Well, if that did not light your fire, I have one more thing for you tonight as we transition from that and transition to this. A lady by the name of Tracy, what was Tracy's last name? Tracy Horde? Was that her name, Tracy Horde? She used to live across the street here, and her kids, beautiful little kids, came to our Christian school. Her and her husband are missionaries for the Nazarene denomination, and I want to believe they're stationed in Africa. I think that's where they're at. That's the last we heard they were at doing ministry for the Lord. Praise God for that. But she sent to Miss Sissy, our school director here at the church, she sent this wonderful little coronavirus acronym. Coronavirus acronym. It says, "Dear neighbor, during these uncertain times, please allow the Word of God to speak to you." So it's coronavirus, and for each letter, starting with C and going all the way to the S, coronavirus, there's a verse. So for C, it says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. O in coronavirus, or in corona, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8, amen? And then the first R here in corona, right, R, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16. The next O, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, Jeremiah 7:23. The N in corona, coronavirus, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. The A in corona, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's that wonderful verse in the Roman Road, Romans 3:23. And then that V for virus, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life," John 6:47. The I in virus, we're now coronavirus, we're on the I. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9a. And then repent in the word virus, or I'm sorry, R in the word virus, standing for repent. The word of God reads, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." That's Acts 3:19 through verse 20, the first part of verse 20 there. And so that brings us to you in the word virus, V-I-R-U-S. You, unto you is born a Savior, Luke 2:10. That gets us back to Christmas, doesn't it? And then, oh, this is everybody's, a lot of people's favorite verse here. That gets us to V-I-R-U-S, coronavirus, V-I-R-U-S, S. What do you think it is? Drum roll, please. Da-da-da-da. It is, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," Matthew 6:33. Jesus is the answer. This is what it says that Tracy Horde sent us. Jesus is the answer for coronavirus and all the world's problems. Will you believe on Jesus Christ to save you from your sin today? And so if you're out there visiting with us, watching this live stream, or you've stumbled across us, I want to tell you, man, you can reach out to Pastor Stephen via his cell number, 281-881-4999, and we would love to talk to you about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's a beautiful thing to open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in and be your Lord and your Savior, your friend, somebody that will take you home one day, you'll get to spend all eternity with. He's a great God. He's an awesome Father. He's a wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Well, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll start trying to digest some of our prayer requests that hopefully you have sent in on the chat feature for the YouTube live stream. And we'll begin to record some of those things and begin to lift those up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name, Lord, and be in your word and continue in our study. And Lord, we're blessed. We're so thankful for the word, and we're so thankful, Lord, that even though we don't get to meet as a group, we get to meet in spirit, spirit and truth. And Lord, we just pray that you use us tonight as a concert of prayer as we lift these individuals up, lift these situations up, these problems, lift all of these things up. Father God, we pray you do your great work. And Lord, you just speak through us, and as we pray back to you, Lord, as we're vessels of the Holy Spirit tonight, that Lord, you would take our prayers, and you would even make intercession for us to the Father. And God, may you be glorified in everything we pray tonight, and everything we ask for, may you be glorified. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right, so you've got some prayer requests coming there, brother. Has anybody put any down? Okay. Okay. Well, I'll just try to get them on the big screen, I guess. Okay. All right. Ronnie V's cousin Raymond. All right. Terry Kimball, mission work. Nicole's brother's friend, Michael. Motorcycle accident. Wow, in coma. All right, very good. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll begin to lift these up tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you, Lord. And as we've been praying for Ronnie Vaculik's cousin, Raymond, Lord, we just continue to pray for him. And Lord, pray that you might give a miracle of healing. Touch his lungs, Lord, and touch his body and just increase his immune response, his immune system, Lord, to just shed this virus and to get past it, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit would give this sheriff's deputy, Lord, what he needs. Give him the grace and the mercy to withstand what he's going through, God. We just pray, Lord, that with so many others praying for him, we pray for a miracle of healing, Lord, and a testimony, a great testimony soon of his improvement, Lord, as he continues to battle this coronavirus. Lord, we do lift up Terry Kimball and her mission work, Lord, as we now know that she will be Central Park. She will be a floating nurse in a respiratory area, and she will be, they're going to tap her gifts and abilities, Lord, to intubate people as they are unable to breathe on their own. And so Terry's going to get to sharpen up and hone some of those skills that she used to use as a EMT person. And Lord, we just pray you give her a steady hand, and Lord, you give her a sharp focus, and you allow her to get that first one, those first two or three back under her belt, and just build some confidence. And Lord, we just pray you use Miss Terry as an instrument of healing, Lord, as a seed sower of salvation, as she's up there in New York with those folks that are definitely hurting physically, but many of them will be hurting spiritually. And Lord, we just pray that you glorify yourself through Miss Terry going up there and serving. Lord, I pray that she just brings glory and honor to your name, that you just give her the words to speak. You give her the divine appointments, Lord, to speak that word of the gospel. And God, I just pray you bring people out of the darkness of their lostness, with Miss Terry Kimball and all of that Samaritan Purse group that's up there in Central Park and other places in New York City, God. Thank you for them. Pray you continue to bless that ministry. Lord, as we continue on tonight, we lift up Nicole's brother's friend, Michael Likens. Lord, who's been in this motorcycle accident, that's in a coma. We pray you give him the grace and mercy, Lord, to withstand what he's going through. And Lord, help him, and Lord, bring healing to his body. And Lord, be with the doctors and the nurses and the nurses' aides, and Lord, everybody that's working on him, the anesthesiologists, Lord, all of those people keeping him in that coma and trying to get his body to heal. We pray his body would heal. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of this COVID response, that Lord, he would still get the same excellent care, the same good care that his body so desperately needs. Lord, we pray you help Michael get through this terrible time. And Caitlin McCormick, Lord, we pray for that this loss of job, Lord, will be just a transition in her life as you just redirect her and refocus her and recenter her energies, Lord, to another, Lord, another career path, another job, Lord. We just pray as you've closed the door on one thing, that God, there would be an open door for her to step through, to pray about, Lord, to seek out. Father God, we pray that you just keep this young lady encouraged and just keep her focused on you. And Lord, we just pray you help her as she navigates the career landscape at this time. We lift up Caitlin McCormick to you. Lord, we are lifting up these families which have seen a reduction in pay or have lost their income during this time. Lord, we do pray that the Lord would supply their needs. Lord, we're thankful that we've got a president and a Congress, House of Representatives, and a Senate, Lord, and they've tried to put this package together, and Lord, checks are going out, and Lord, we're thankful for that, and they're talking about adding more money to it, and Lord, there's seems to be a spirit of generosity and on the part of some of these companies, is not taking any money in, still paying money out. We're thankful for those companies as well. Lord, we pray for these folks that are on hard times and hard luck. We do pray that you would stretch their dollars, and Lord, you would stretch their money, and Lord, you would bless them in ways that they don't even know now is coming. That God, you would just blow them away with your blessing of sustenance and help as they go through this time. All right, brother, we got some more. All right, we do pray for our leaders in all these positions that they be focused on you, Lord, and they have guidance by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for those in Congress that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father God, I pray that in the midst of this, those that do know you as Savior and Lord would be able to witness to those that perhaps are across the aisle or next to them in the same political party. Lord, we pray you bring a revival in this country, and Lord, may it start in your pulpits, and Lord, then to your pews, and then to the politicians. But God, we pray for these politicians as they're trying to do their best in the midst of this. We pray for all these governors of all these 50 states and the territory of Puerto Rico, Lord, and we just pray for wisdom on their behalf on how to restart their economies in their own respective states. And Lord, we just pray you guide the president as he tries to influence them. And Lord, we just pray they all work together for the common good, for the common goal, without putting life in jeopardy, as this thing is certainly not under control, but perhaps we may be getting to the halfway point here in a week or two of it. Father God, protect this nation, protect your people, protect those people that certainly need to make decisions for salvation, God. We don't want to see them die and leave and step out to eternity without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior. We thank you for that tonight. All right. Amen. All right. Very good. Amen. Well, we've lifted that up. We'll pray for the unspokens tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those that have unspokens this evening. And Lord, we thank you that we can speak those things to you in the privacy of our homes. We can lift those things up by specific name and need as we're praying with our pastor tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring these burdensome things to you. And God, we thank you that you take those things from us. And we just love you tonight, Lord, for encouraging us as we carry these. When we're together, we call them unspokens, but we're in the privacy of our own homes, Lord, we can speak them freely to you. Lord, we're thankful that you hear us, that you care, that you love us, that you help us carry these sometimes burdens. Lord, I pray we just lay them down at your feet one more week. Lord, we pray for your patience. We pray for the grace and the mercy to carry them another week. And may we begin to thank you in advance for how you're sovereignly going to answer our prayers concerning these deep needs and prayers that we have. Thank you for loving us, Lord. We do thank you for all that you do. We praise you tonight. Lord, may we continue to stay focused on you, continue to stay in your word, continue to be in a spirit of prayer as we pray for one another, as we pray for our church, as we pray for our fellow man, as we pray for our government, our state leadership, our county leadership, all those folks that have a hand in bringing protection to us and then trying to get this economy back going again. Lord, just give them great wisdom. Thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for Jeremiah and Lori and, again, helping us with the live stream and getting the Word of God out. And, Lord, may your Word just continue to go out. May it accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Thank you that it will not return void. We praise you for that. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said? Amen. All right. Well, God bless you, folks. We'll see you 10:45 Sunday a.m. back at the live stream. We'll try to have some music again, and then we'll get into the preaching hour with you. Y'all have a great rest of the week, and we look forward to seeing you then. Call me if you need anything, 281-881-4999. God bless y'all. Good night.